With us this morning is Lewis Beresford. He's organising. I don't know how he can possibly. I'm sure he's king on top of a mountain doing this, and he must have a huge team of people working with him. But we'll find out more now. Cambridge Vegan Market's taking place. It's the first in a series. I'm sure this will work very well because Lewis himself is based here in Cambridge, and he's taking it on tour. I think Nottingham was one of the places that I think he.
That's right. In November, at the end of November this year, we have one in Nottingham, and then some more throughout the UK in 2017.
So welcome along, Lewis. It's nice to see you this morning.
Thank you very much.
As I say, for spending some time with us here. The very first one, though, that you've ever done.
Yep.
Have you set up this business yourself? You trade as a... You have a sort of business name that you trade under.
That's right, yeah. So Earth Events is the events organising company. I set that up around this time last year with the aim of spreading these vegan markets throughout the UK.
I have to say, it's very enterprising. Well done, you. If you're a young person, you're clearly still in your 20s.
Yes. I'm just 21. So I set this company up when I was just 20 years old. Well, veganism is very popular in the UK at the moment. There's around 500,000 is an estimate as to how many there are. And that number's growing. So lots of people want to know about this kind of thing. But there's not a lot of information out there if you're not looking for it. So this is what the idea of the vegan markets, this is what it's all about. It's about giving people easy access to ideas about veganism and the interesting foods and people involved in that. So really, that's what this enterprise is all about. And it all starts on Sunday.
I've met vegans before. In fact, they sat right there where you are, Lewis, in this particular studio in the building. Some of them actually... very good in yoga, and sometimes veganism and yoga seem to go well together. I don't know whether you've ever noticed that interplay.
But. Absolutely, there's certainly a connection there. There is the new, I don't know if you know about it, but there's a vegan restaurant cafe that is being started in Cambridge. Maybe you've heard about that.
Yes.
And that's tied in with a bit of yoga. So Stem and Glory, they will be there on Sunday next week. They will be at the vegan market alongside 50 other Cambridge businesses from around Cambridge. A lot of them are local, but then some from a bit further away, a lot from London, a few from even, I think the furthest north is someone from Newcastle is coming down, someone doing vegan cosmetics. So it's a really, really interesting mix. A huge number of people selling sweets, savouries, clothes, cosmetics, there's charities, so Greenpeace will be there talking about the environmental effects of food that we eat. There's going to be some animal charities there. A really interesting mix for anyone who's at all interested in healthy food and living sustainably. So
this will be at the Guildhall. It's going to be on next Sunday, as you heard already. It starts at 10:30. This time next Sunday, you'll be in another world, Lewis, I have to say.
It's going to be a long day. It's going to be a very long day.
So obviously, you allow traders to get in early and get set up around there. I don't know the logistics, actually, of this on a Sunday morning. I'm just sort of thinking it's a little bit outside the box at the moment, because obviously... I'd imagine what used to be the Rising Bollards in the centre of Cambridge. I mean, are all the stallholders going to be get sort of, you've got the keys to the place from around about, what, 8 o'clock in the morning or something?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Start, so bright and early. Yeah, that's right. So we aim to get everyone in before 9 and then give them time to settle down, set up everything. You're right about the bollards. They go up around between 10 and 4.
So you've got to get everybody in and...
around those times. You've got to work around those times, yeah.
It's got to be like a military precision thing to get there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I have to say, it's very cheap to get into as well. It's got to be only £2 for individuals to get in available on the door, which is lovely, actually, because it's going to encourage more people anyway. And they've got the draw of Cambridge Market being right there and all the wonderful things that are pervade on Cambridge Market on a Sunday morning anyway.
Absolutely.
And people can filter just next door, really.
It's a fantastic attraction, the standard Cambridge Market. Thousands of people come every weekend. So, yeah, I feel lucky to have the vegan market right next door. Certainly, the people interested in the food at the normal Cambridge Market will, I'm sure, be interested, or a lot of them will be interested in coming along to our event. So, yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic venue. And the fact that it's so central just is the icing on the cake, really. Yeah.
Well done, you. I mean, as I say, I don't want to sound patronising, but I really am so pleased to meet a young man 21 years old, who set up his company and is already doing something like this, and is taking this whole thing on tour. Anyway, apart from Cambridge, where, and we said Nottingham, where else are you going to be taking this?
Yeah, so the next city is most likely going to be London. So I found a venue near Liverpool Street.
Yeah,
fantastic venue, and obviously London, the interest is there. There's so many businesses operating in there with doing vegan food or whatever, vegan clothes. So London is a big one. Derby is another really interesting one. And that's what's in the mix for 2017. So we'll see about 2018. I'm quite interested in looking at an even bigger event. So more like a festival, if you will. So maybe a weekend camping sort of thing. So yeah, it's just interesting, and people enjoy these kind of things, and they always have a great time. So yeah, that's really what they're about.
I could see you in Lord Sugar's boardroom one day. I'd love to see you again in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, and I'll be calling you sir, something like that. It would be lovely to think, because obviously, you know, you're a principled person. Going back to your past as a boy, did you make the conscious decision to first become a vegetarian before becoming a vegan, or did you make the step all the way across? Were you influenced by your parents? Is this something you decided yourself or among your siblings?
So it's quite an interesting one, really. I always like to tell the story. So my younger sister, she had been vegetarian for many years, and a few years ago, just over 2 years ago, I made a bet with her that I would be vegetarian for a certain period of time, for 8 weeks it was. And during that time, I thought I would educate myself, because I'd never read anything about vegetarianism, veganism. I've never really thought about it. So I did. So I won the bet. I won £10 for my younger sister.
Started your business with the £10.
And yeah, and it went from there, really. So I sort of read a few famous books about veganism and got me interested, first of all, in the health benefits of it, and then the environmental, and then the animal rights. So there's lots of different stances people take on it, but that's it, really. Yeah, so it's been over 2 years, and I've really enjoyed it. It's opened my eyes to a whole world of different cuisines, and I used to cook really boring food. It wasn't very interesting, I can't say, but now I feel much better, and the food I cook is far more interesting and tastier. So yeah.
Does it mean that your household, well, household, do you share with other students, or
yes, I do.
In Chesterton, which is where you are? Do you find that the budget, though, that you have to spend on food, though, has necessarily, and rather sadly, gone up as a result, because you're looking for sourcing foods which are slightly more exclusive, shall we say, slightly more narrowly fielded in terms of marketing at the moment, but you might change all of that, of course.
That's true. You're definitely right about that. There are limited ranges of certain vegan foods in supermarkets, but that is changing. That is something that throughout the last, particularly the last year, has changed a lot. But there's just two ways of looking at it, really. If you're not buying meat and dairy products, which tend to be more expensive, then you can spend more on these other kinds of vegan alternatives, or vegetables aren't expensive on the whole, especially if you get them from markets like the Cambridge one, or farm shops. So really, I'm spending as much as I was in the past, so it's not really affected my budget, I can't say. But you do have to be careful with making sure you get the right nutrients and things like that. So that's something you do have to think about. Yeah, so it's definitely a consideration for people that are looking into veganism. It's not just eat vegetables. There is a lot more to it than that. You have to plan your diet, especially if you exercise. So I like cycling. So if you want to excel in a sport, you have to really sort of plan your diet. And you have to eat a lot, because there's not a lot of calories in carrots. So you do have
another one about celery, actually, Lewis. You may know this one. I mean, I love fenn celery, adore it. Used to put far too much salt with it as an accompaniment on the plate. So you'd have a pile of salt, and then you dip the celery in, and that would be part of Sunday tea, and exquisite. I mean, fenn celery, when it's in season, the best. I mean, obviously, we won't name the farmers, but they're obviously not very far away from us. But to eat celery, you actually expel more calories, you probably know this, than actually, you know, by eating it, than you will actually get in terms of, I mean, the nutrition's great for you, the fibre in your body, and it has this detoxing effect. but actually you're going to lose weight eating celery.
Yeah, so that's true. It's certainly something that people try, people find when they first try veganism is that they can't keep on weight. It's not true for a lot of people, but some people find that. So I find myself piling on huge plates. And I really like that because I can eat as much as I want and I don't.
It's great if you love food.
Yeah, and I do. I really do. So it's definitely a positive for me.
I mean, you don't look slight of character. You don't look... you look... probably a normal stature for a 21-year-old man, you know. You look healthy, yes.
Thank you. I wouldn't say I was skinny. I've never been skinny. But, yeah, veganism's definitely... helped me lose a bit of weight. I certainly used to be heavier, and the cycling combined with that is just that's a sort of quite a healthy lifestyle, and it's great. So as you saw this morning, I'm not on caffeine either, so that's something I've cut out recently.
Oh really? Yes, because I offered you black tea, black coffee, but you don't go really even for sort of stimulant drinks like tea or coffee nowadays.
Not anymore. Yeah. No, not anymore. Yeah. No.
I mean, I almost said what I said there, almost as if why, I mean, as a vegan, why shouldn't you look healthy? Why shouldn't you look well? Because there shouldn't be a prejudice. I mean, I'm thinking, these poor souls, you know, they can't enjoy a nice slice of lamb. I'm sorry if I'm offending you by saying that this morning.
Absolutely not.
You know, because I am very much an omnivore, shall we say? Shall we call us that? But I do understand your world, and I can. The one thing, though, I notice you are offering are sugary things.
Yeah.
Next weekend. So there are a few sins left.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, my opinion is you have to enjoy the food you eat. It's a huge part of so many people's lives. To restrict it so it's purely a nutritional thing rather than something for enjoyment is quite a sad way of looking at life, I think. So, yeah, certainly a few sins, a few cakes and biscuits, whatever. Not a bad thing. So... I can't say I'm really into sweet things myself that much. I'd certainly prefer to have two mains and a main and a dessert. I'm that sort of guy. But,
You're more savoury than sweet.
Definitely, I would say that.
Which means you can use things like Marmite, presumably. I don't know whether you're a Marmite person, because a lot of people are, and some people aren't. Are you?
I'm not really, I can't say. But it's a good thing. It has B12 in, which is a very important vitamin. But I don't really like it, actually.
Oh, really?
So I don't really like it, no.
Because I would thought, you know, if I was... I don't know, if I did decide to move to the world of veganism or at least vegetarianism, I'd want to put something like that in, other savoury, what should we call them, sort of filtrations are available, fermentations is probably, because it's actually, it came from the brewing, it's a byproduct of the brewing industry, isn't it? It's sort of famous out of Burton upon Trent, where they've taken the dregs from the brewer's barrel to ferment somehow. It was, I think it was discovered by accident or something like that. Anyway, somebody took a hankering to it, and many of the people in this nation love Marmite. Abroad, they never heard of it, really, by the way. It's very much a British thing. Veganism around the world, though, that leads us on to that. It's very strong, isn't it? In the USA, there are...
Huge. So the growing countries at the moment are Australia. Australia is very... probably the world leading at the moment in terms of growth. Israel is got the largest population as a percentage of vegans. It's over 15%, I think, which is huge. And the US is, they have their extremes over there. So the people really into the health and fitness tend to also really be into their veganism. So, yeah, it's certainly a really, really growing and interesting way of life. And if you look at places like India, Sri Lanka, Southeast Asia, a lot of these diets is just how they've lived for centuries, really. So that is that's where the really interesting cuisines come from. So certainly when I made the transition, those kinds of foods are what I tend to eat a lot more of, because it's very easy to cook a curry that's vegan.
You also mentioned earlier on, actually, Lewis, veganist clothing. Now, what's the difference between the clothing that I might wear now? Some of it might be nylon, but with cotton. I mean, cotton would be fine. That's obviously sourced from flax from plants, make clothing that way. But what's special or different about vegan... are animal products used in processes for making clothes?
That's the main thing, yeah. It's not generally the materials, it's in the process. So there are certain traders coming to the event next Sunday that are selling vegan certified clothing, but also with vegan slogans and things on like that. So that's also sort of what they do with their...
So clothes that are non-vegan, do we... I mean, do you know... I'm thinking what goes into the clothing production line. Is it dyes that may contain animal fat bases in them? I'm not quite sure, really.
It's so often it would be dyes. Often it would be the glues in certain shoes or things like that, or obviously yes. leather shoes. So often glues include things like that. So it can be a number of different things that make it non-vegan.
Yeah, with footwear, that's pretty obvious. Obviously, you wouldn't wear leather.
Yeah.
But you get way... I'm going to have a quick look under the desk, see what you're wearing today, because I haven't done that yet. Hang on. So you really just got sort of canvas trainers on, which you've sort of recognised as being without any form of leather strip. Or,
yeah, so they're just cycling shoes, really. So they've got sort of the clips in the bottom for my bike. So.
Which most people actually will do. I mean, if I've got my trainers on today, you know, so we're... Well, I'm probably... It's probably at least it's a part of me which is kind of going down the vegan conforms, if you like. We've only got time, really, to say what else. There's some temptations. The first 100 people to arrive next Sunday will get free vegan cake.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, which is... if you're not vegan, you can come along and try these things. Yeah, you never know. You may. Everyone that brings their own mug will get a free coffee or tea as well. Without milk, of course. Do you use some kind of substitute for milk?
Is yeah, certainly. Almond, soy milk, rice milk, etc. There's quite a few different choices.
Yeah, and then producer Michelle's on the almond milk for breakfast every morning, so you converted her already. 10% of all profits from this event are going to be given directly to the environmental charities that you support, which are?
So Cool Earth, it's rated as the best environmental charity in the world in terms of the effectiveness of it. So that's who we're supporting.
It's organised by yourself and your company, Earth Events. And I didn't really ask you, just how many people around you have been helping you out with the whole thing?
So the vast Lewis? Majority of the time it's been me, but I do have a big team working with me on the day to help out. So there's a team of sort of 10 of us on the day.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So Cambridge Vegan Market, organised by Earth Events, which is Lewis Berryfords, who's been our guest this morning in the studio. Veganmarkets.co.uk is a website you can go to, and also earthevents.co.uk to find out far more. Good luck with it, Lewis. You are an inspiration to an omnivore, I have to say, but as much from the business aspect. I wish you luck with it.
Thank you very much.
And the touring you do. We'll have to catch up with you.
Absolutely.
When you've done a little circuit and sort of find out your experiences of this whole thing.
I would love to do that. Thank you very much.
Lewis Berris was there from Earth Events with the Cambridge Vegan Market, which is taking place this coming Sunday.